fellow Christians, raised from death, redeemed from slavery to sin, and freed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin by asking you to read with me the words on the screen, part of today's gospel lesson. And the voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. I'm curious today how you would define a super day. What is it that would make a day super? Is it having enough snow so that school's called off? Is it having ice thick enough that you can get your ice house out? Is it having a short sermon and a short service? Is it when an election is finally over and all those commercials stop? Is it being in God's house to see His glory and to receive His gifts? Stewardship always starts with God's giving and God's gift. Let me assure you, it is good to be here. To have God once again say to us, "You are my beloved." To have God say to us once again, "You are forgiven." To receive from Him gifts of peace and joy and hope and eternal life. Stewardship starts with God's giving. But today is Pledge Sunday, and so we look at our giving and giving God our best. I was asked to preach this sermon quite some time ago, and so it struck me as we went through the Christmas season, I heard the song "Little Drummer Boy." "Come," they told me, "ra-pa-pa-pum-pum, to see the newborn king. Our finest gifts to bring, to lay before the king, and so to honor him." I'm here today to challenge you to give God your finest and your best. When it comes to your church, when it comes to your school, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to work, when it comes to your team, when it comes to school, I'm here to call upon you to honor Him. And I hope that as a result of God's Spirit at work in our lives today, we would always say, "It is good to be here." Not simply here in worship, but wherever God has placed us, because it is a place where we can honor Him. Let's start by asking the question, do we bring God our finest? Do we bring God our best? At the end of the Epiphany season, it's worth considering the question, if you had been the wise men traveling all the way to Bethlehem to see the king, what would you have brought him as a gift? What is it that would lead God's people to bring God their finest? What would it take to get God's people to give gifts that honor Him? And the answer has to be seeing Jesus alone, or seeing Jesus only. This photo provided by the Albany Medical Institute in Albany, New York, is a picture of a nurse. Nurse Susan Berger cuddling Amanda Scarpinati in 1977. Amanda had been severely burned by a vaporizer in her home. And Scarpinati kept that hospital's annual report and the photos that were published as a source of comfort as she was bullied as a child. She said this, growing up as a child, disfigured by burns, I was bullied, I was picked on, I was tormented. I'd look at these pictures and talk to her, even though I didn't know who she was. I took comfort in looking at this woman who seemed to care so sincerely for me. And last year, she decided to try to look up this nurse, and with the help of the Albany Medical Center, the two women met in September of 2015, and so this story was in our news. Where do you look when you're tormented? By bullies? By guilt? Where do you look when you need comfort or encouragement? Where do you look when you are tempted? When you're in the midst of grief or life storms? Where do you look to be assured there is someone who sincerely cares for you? In the transfiguration of Jesus, the disciples were given a picture to hang on to, a picture of Jesus in all of his glory, a picture where Jesus is revealed as the very Son of God, where he is revealed as the fulfillment of all the promises from Moses and Elijah, where he is revealed as the promised Messiah. But to know that there is someone who sincerely cares for you, you need to see the one who possesses all the glory hanging on a cross and risen from the dead. And underneath all those pictures, you need to see those words, for you. When you see Jesus alone, you see God's mercy, God's tenderness, gentleness, and compassion. When you see Jesus, you see God giving his very best. When you see Jesus, you see God carrying your sins and removing your shame. You see God making you his beloved, his chosen one. Look at Jesus alone and you will see God's power. Look at the cross and the tomb and you will see God acting on your behalf. You know you are secure and your future is secure because on the last day when God looks at you, he will see Jesus alone. Now, having seen that picture, you are ready to give him your finest and your best. We do not give our best when our eyes are fixed on our circumstances, our needs, the budget, what others are giving or doing or not giving or not doing. Our lives are transformed when we realize that we deserve only rejection and damnation, and we receive Jesus instead. All that we are, all that we do, and all that we give has to do with the magnificence of Jesus Christ and his once-for-all sacrifice. It's been a long time ago I read this story, but a congregation's giving dramatically increased when a member of a congregation made some new offering plates. The offering plates were in the form of a hand that was pierced. When you give your offering, it's important you see Jesus alone. When you use your time and talents to serve, it's important that you see Jesus alone. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Transfiguration happened so that Jesus, Peter, James, and John might be strengthened as they headed into the valley. And so transfiguration in the church calendar always occurs right before Ash Wednesday in the Lenten season. Peter was absolutely right. It would be nice to stay here. But that wasn't God's intent for Jesus, for the disciples, or for us. So if somebody were to ask you, hey, why does Zion Lutheran Church exist? What would you say? Why is this building here? Yes, it is here so that you might see his glory. And not only see it, so that you might receive it. So that you might share in his death and resurrection. It is here so that you can gather for worship. It is here so you can receive his gifts. It is here so that you can take time to study God's word together. Do you know anybody who doesn't enjoy Christmas worship? Is there anything that God offers you on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, that he doesn't offer at other times when you gather here? Each and every time he gives you the gift of a Savior. Each and every time you can say, it is good to be here. Zion Lutheran Church exists to connect God's people to God's Word. It's here so that you can take time to study God's Word. Continuing education is important. We need to be fed, we need to be nourished, we need to be strengthened. We need to grow in our relationship with God and with fellow believers. We need to become more familiar with God's Word. We need to unwrap His gifts. And each and every time we gather around God's Word, we can say, it is good to be here. Again, it'd be nice to stay here. But that is not what God intended. So this picture is a great picture of Zion Lutheran Church practicing good stewardship. This is a picture of Zion Lutheran Church serving in New Orleans. How's that go? It's a picture of teachers teaching in your day school and others teaching Sunday school. It's a picture of God's people in this place visiting in the nursing home, feeding the hungry, nurturing their marriage, caring for their children, telling the good news, and sharing Jesus. To celebrate Transfiguration, Chad Bird wrote a poem that he entitled, Give Me Jesus of the Lowlands. A portion of that poem says this, Give me Jesus of the lowlands, transfigured by lonely suffering, a face familiar with dirt and tears, well pleased with failures as friends. Give me Jesus who ascends a mountain to be transfixed to my cross and die, to transfigure me by his cross to live. Would we really want a God who remained in glory and didn't come to the valley? Would we want a God who had everything to give but didn't? Does God or the world really want Christians who stay on the mountain? God wants us to say, when we get to the valley, it is good to be here. This is a real letter. To whom it may concern, I hate my life. You can't imagine the ache of wanting to end your life and not being able to because you're a quadriplegic who can't use your hands. After the doctor did surgery on my neck, I refused to wear the neck brace. I hate it. Nobody understands and nobody will listen to me when I tell them I don't want to live. People feel sorry for me and I can't stand it. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself. I don't have the energy to cope. I don't have the strength to face the next day. I want out. What would you say to that teenager in the valley? What advice would you give her? What picture would you give her? Suicidal teenager who wrote that letter was Johnny Erickson Tata. And she said, she found answers. And she said her answers came not in words, but in people. Mrs. Miller, the mother of a high school classmate, who visited her bedside once a week and always brought homemade sugar cookies. Another friend who gave up a whole semester of college to stay by her bed. And Steve, who brought his guitar and his Bible. She's right. She says, answers to our problems most often come in the form of people, not sentences. They don't need an argument or a rational discussion. They need people with practical love, ready to roll up their sleeves. The answer to our deepest problem, to sin, death, and slavery to Satan, is not found in words, but in a person. God didn't come into our world to give us answers. He came to be the answer. He didn't say, come on, cheer up. He didn't say, come on, try a little harder, you can do it. He said, let me do it for you. And he picked up our sins and he carried them to the cross. God has given each of us here a picture of his glory. And in so doing, he is calling each of us to give, to care, to live our faith, to use our gifts, to go into the valley. God is calling each of us to put our love into action, our faith into practice, to live our faith, to give, and to share Christ. So what is Commitment Sunday really all about? The hymn I referenced earlier says it so well. Come, they told me, a newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king, so to honor him. May we honor him who has honored us. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.